Welcome to Supernormalized, and I'm your host, CJ. I'm always interested in hearing about your unusual story or life experience, so go ahead and reach out to me via Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or on email. Try supernormalized, with a Z, at proton.me. Now on to today's show. Today on Supernormalized, I have... What's your name that you'd like to go by today?
Brian.
Well, I have Brian. Brian is an experiencer of what we would call UFO type events that have happened to him for quite a period of time. And they also happened not only just to him, but around lots of people and groups of people. And they were quite unusual in their scope. So he wanted to talk about them. So I've brought him on the show. So welcome to the show, Brian.
Thank you, CJ.
You've had some experiences with UFOs, and those experiences have been quite staggering for you. Give us some framework. Does this happen a lot to you, or?
I would say there was a time period, probably starting 2006.
2006, yep.
Where it was quite common that there'd be something weird happen,
right?
Every now and then.
Okay. So was there anything going on in your life that you think might have triggered that for you, or it just started to show up?
No, there was no traumatic experiences or motor vehicle accidents or head knocks or anything like that that you could sort of pin it on.
Okay.
I think it was probably more to do with the collective where people were at that time,
right?
Where the planet was at that time, or the plane of existence.
Yeah.
You know, everybody was talking about 2012 being the
end of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is leading up to 2012 when people were all on a spiritual path and
right.
Working on themselves. But these things that happened were with my family, with my parents, who are now in their 70s.
Okay.
Yeah. So the first one, we were on the beach at the Sunshine Coast on a Sunday morning,
mm-hmm.
about 9 a.m.
9 a.m., yeah.
And we're there for nippers to watch the kids do nippers, which is a life-saving, surf life-saving.
Yeah.
There are easily 200 people on the beach.
Yeah, so it's crowded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So what happened, somebody looked over their shoulder across the sand dunes and there was a giant sphere, but it was a metallic mirror-looking sphere.
Mm.
And it was hovering about 50 meters above the sand dunes.
Did it make any sound?
No sound, but it had a disc spinning around it.
Wow.
So this thing's just hovering, floating, like it was weightless. And it was sort of sitting there for a while. And the crowd turned around to look at it. Me and my family, we all turned around and looked at it. Nobody took a photo. Everyone looked at it for about probably 30 seconds.
Right. How big was it?
I would have to say 2 to 3 meters in diameter.
2 to 3 meters in diameter. Okay. So it's pretty large.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did
it make you feel anything?
I didn't feel negative. Didn't feel like, I just felt excited. I was like, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's cool. That's weird.
Yeah. And I'm sober.
Yeah.
And so then everybody turned back around after 30 seconds and kept watching the life-saving.
Yeah.
And I kept watching it. I watched it for 15 minutes. And it slowly tracked north. So we were at Maroochydore Surf Club. It followed the line of the sand dunes all the way up to Noosa. And it just hovered and it just went... In a line, just followed the beach line, followed it all the way to Noosa from Maroochydore.
Wow.
Stayed at the same height.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was amazing just to watch this thing. It was graceful. It wasn't aggressive. It was just...
It was just there.
Yeah, but it was phenomenal to look at. The funny part of the story is when I spoke to my parents and family about it later.
Because they were there and they would have seen it
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they saw it. My father in particular would just say, oh, no, that's a prank. It was uni students playing a prank. Now, the funny thing about that is my parents used to own a townhouse in that area.
Right.
Which was like a weekender.
Yeah.
So then a couple of months later, we were having a barbecue at that townhouse. And I think up on one of the top levels, you could kind of see the ocean from the top floor. Or there might have been some vantage point where you could look out to the ocean from there, even though it was a few streets back.
Okay.
So then on this particular night, we were watching the ocean again. And these lights started to appear from Mooloolaba, where the Mooloolaba Spit. These lights just started appearing from Mooloolaba Spit and flying like a fleet of glowing lights, flying from Mooloolaba over across to in front of Maroochydore, and then there's an island off there, Old Woman Island, and they were just heading like a fleet from there to there, and onwards they went. Now, these things were slowing down, speeding up. They were in formation, and there would have been 50 or 60 of them.
Wow. So how many people saw it that time?
Easily 5 or 6 people.
And how many people denied it later on?
Well, most of them forgot about it.
Yeah, it sort of happens like that, doesn't it?
But again, my father...
Pranks.
Whenever I brought it up,
yeah,
he would be like, oh, no, that's just uni students playing a prank. And that was actually what he said at the time.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, but look at that one. It's stopped. They're stationary. If that was a paper bag with a candle in it,
yeah,
they don't fly in formation and they don't do maneuvers and they don't stop.
No, they just always float.
And they definitely don't go 500 meters up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
So that phenomenon... There was another time that I saw that as well, where there was a fleet coming out from the Mooloolaba. That other time, I can't remember. So there's something's gone on there. Yeah. There was definitely another time when I saw a fleet of those light ships or spheres of light.
Yes.
But it wasn't with my family. So that other time, I'll remember it. I'll come back to it if I remember it. Which leads to this other time in the same area.
Yeah.
Where I was on my own.
Okay.
And I was jogging from Alexandra Headland over to Mooloolaba.
Right.
So I'm jogging and I just sort of, it was a Wednesday night, I just got into Mooloolaba where all the cafes are. And I looked up in the sky and there was a large black triangle shaped ship flying over silently. Same thing, would have been a few hundred meters up in the air, but it was just flying across the skyscrapers. It's about to go, well, not skyscrapers, but it's about to go over all the holiday resorts.
Yeah.
But it's literally this black triangle.
Yeah, I've seen the black triangles too.
No lights on it.
I had lights on the tips on mine.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't remember there being lights. I could see it pretty clearly though.
Yeah, I could see it clear too. I was like, what? No one else is seeing this? What's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was pretty awesome.
That was in Wollongong, mine.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
I feel like those black triangle ones are actually maybe American military.
Yeah, I got that feeling too. I felt like since then, reading all this stuff, like it sounds like a TR-3B, which is the one they're using. So.
Well, actually, yeah, there's a photo of one up online, a shiny silver one.
Oh, another one. Yeah, right. I haven't seen the silver one.
On an aircraft carrier.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Could be fake. But so on this occasion... I saw that, thought that's awesome. Maybe I partied too hard on the weekend. kept jogging.
Yeah.
Got around to the other side of the beach, which is called the Spit.
Yeah.
And I was a bit rattled. I was like, you know, I've just seen something massive.
Yeah.
So I pulled up, I was jogging across the beach and then I just stopped and I was looking back to the spot where I saw it. I was looking up, trying to work out what I saw.
Mm.
And then this giant spotlight appeared in that spot, couple of hundred meters off the ocean. Could have been between 100 and 200 meters off the surface of the ocean, this giant light. And it's shining straight in my eyes.
Wow.
And I thought it might have been the SES helicopter doing practice. You know, they do practice water rescues and they do all that stuff all the time.
Mm.
So I thought, oh, it must be the SES guys in the chopper, and they're just, you know, this is literally 5 minutes after I saw the other thing.
Wow.
So in my head, though, to try and rationalize it, I'm like, maybe it's just
a helicopter. SES.
They're messing with me. You know, they've seen me on the beach. They're shining the light on me.
Yeah.
It's trying to stir me up.
Mm.
So I'm sort of looking at this light and it's sort of coming towards me across the water. Imagine it's like a bay.
Yeah.
It's coming across the water, a couple hundred meters off the water, blinding me with the light. So I'm sort of like giving it the finger, saying, piss off. I know, like, I know you can see me.
We come in peace.
Blind me with the light. And then it got closer and closer. And I'm like, righto, these guys, because I've got a mate who does that stuff and he's a prankster.
Oh, right.
And he's in Townsville, but he's...
Yeah, but this happens.
Yeah, he's told me.
See, you've got a framework to reason that this could be, you know, these guys
messing around. If it was that guy, he'd be playing a prank.
Yes.
Anyway, it got closer. It was probably, I don't know, maybe 200 meters away and probably 100 meters up in the air maybe. But it was definitely blinding my vision. And here I am thinking, oh, okay, these guys are going to buzz me with the helicopter, but I couldn't hear a helicopter.
Mm. Oh, yeah, no.
And then it stopped and it just hovered above the ocean, which is the main surf area.
Yes.
And it's just hovering there and I'm like, what the hell's going on?
Were you alone at that time with this one?
Yeah, I was alone.
Yeah.
And then it just vanished. Gone. And then it reappeared about a kilometer up in the air instantly, like went bang, bang, and then took off on an angle off into space.
Far out.
Yeah.
I had one time on South Golden Beach where I was sitting with some friends in the sand dunes and it's a warmer summer's night, we're just having a good chat and we see a light out to sea and I'm like, that's definitely a UFO. And the girls are saying, yeah, let's call it in. And I said, yeah, let's call it in. We called it in. So we put our mind onto it and we called it in. It was coming closer and closer. And one of my friends is like, wait a minute, it actually is a UFO. It is coming. Just like, can you stop? And so we stopped, you know, and it just stayed where it was, didn't come any closer. And then over the top of our heads flew a helicopter, black helicopter, completely silent, over the top of our heads straight towards it. And I looked at it and going, what?
Yeah, those black helicopters are interesting, aren't
they? They are.
So, yeah, that was around the same time. I'd started doing Reiki healing.
Mm.
And I've done a couple of courses in energy healing. And I don't know if you've heard of a guy, John Varlo.
Yes, John Varlo, Melchizedek. Yeah.
So in his books, around that time, I might have read the books around that time, but I might have read it just after that. But in his books, he mentions these black helicopters that kept turning up.
Yeah, maybe right.
He did an activation of group meditation. So when I start doing Reiki on people in my unit.
Yeah.
These black helicopters would turn up broad daylight.
Wow.
Yeah.
Trippy.
Well, either one or two.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, what? Where have they come from?
Yeah.
Like, I know there's an airport there, but.
And what are they doing?
Yeah. How do they know?
How do they know? I know. It's strange, isn't it? Yeah.
And it was just me doing Reiki.
Yeah.
So that was pretty freaky, but it was cool that I had that book to refer to and his story matched up and I was like, okay, you've got to do something in your healing work so they don't pick up on it.
Yeah. So interesting thing about John Varlo Melchizedek, the information he was presenting is one half of it.
Mm.
He actually went to Egypt with another guy I know called Scott,
mm.
who also lives on the Sunshine Coast actually.
Really?
And Scott and him went to Egypt and discovered all of this information and they both agreed to take one half of it. But they decided, like they said, that it has to be taught together for it to be done properly. Problem is, if you do it one half, then it doesn't balance, and all sorts of weird stuff happens.
Interesting.
So Scott didn't want to promote it because it's just too powerful.
Mm.
But Mountain Trombolo did, and he went for it. And I think there's something in that because it seems to be like a beacon for strangeness in some ways. Yeah.
Yeah, well, at the time I was right into it. I thought The Flower of Life was great, but it...
Yeah, definitely have something to it.
But then my body didn't like it. It was like it felt good to start with, and then it would feel... My heart would close down.
Okay.
Yeah, because I got T-shirts printed with it on. And
yeah.
I was wearing a Flower of Life T-shirt all the time.
But yeah.
I'd put it on, feel good, and then feel bad. Which also could have just been some sort of attachment in my system, but...
Right.
I just thought it was interesting that it didn't make you feel good all the time.
Mm,
was it bringing up something, or, you know?
It could be. It could be. Yeah, yeah.
But so. Yeah, now it's everywhere. Now I'm like not really a fan.
I was in the Museum of London, I think it was, and all the stolen Egyptian stuff there is amazing, you know, and it's quite... awesome to see, but I always think, oh, this is just all stolen stuff. But they actually have the gates from a temple, and the gates also have the floor of the entryway. It's all the Flower of Life carved into it. And like when I looked at it, I was like, wow, it's, you know, it's here.
Wow.
Yeah. And it felt bizarre to walk across it, you know.
Interesting.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. It's such a simple, I mean, to me, it's a simple design, but it's...
Meditate on it. Yeah, well, you know, you've done it. So you meditate on it.
I always get like a little cube would appear in it.
Yeah, I've had the cube and all sorts of things start popping out of it. You just, it's quite an interesting sort of doorway to things.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know because I know he said that he was guided by Thoth and Thoth took them everywhere and showed them all that stuff from the spirit world.
Mm.
But yeah.
I don't know about that aspect.
Yeah, well, that's what he had in the book. But yeah, I just... bit dubious about spirits impersonating other spirits.
There's a long history of people claiming really cool stuff from Egypt. But we don't know how much. I mean, you know, there's also the trickster spirit that comes along with that, right? And it may look like it's a bit false, but what if it actually still brings stuff to change? Mm. Doesn't matter.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It could be like a shifty dealing of the cards, but in the end, if the reading comes out good, does it matter? You know what I mean?
I think it can be part of your journey, working out who's real and who's not.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, definitely.
And that's a constant...
It's a battle, really, I would say. Yeah, yeah.
That's another topic.
It is another topic. Yeah. So with all of your UFO experiences that you've had, are they still ongoing or is it just something that's happened over a period of time and it's stopped?
I think it's been a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lately it's, I feel since 4G and 5G come along, there's a lot less stuff happening.
Hmm.
It's like we're not perceiving it or, you know, I don't know many people having these stories at the moment.
Right.
And this, I mean, this was in a public place. It was quite common.
Right, yeah.
So, although, yeah, probably a year ago we were down the beach and we're having a barbecue and there was a light flew across and it was really fast.
Yeah.
Same spot.
Yeah.
But I was with my family again having a barbecue and one of them flew across and it went from, looked like it came from Brisbane out over the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite high up, but it was quite big.
Was it a sphere?
Yeah,
shape?
Sphere,
yeah.
Lit up, ball of light.
Yeah.
But it was interesting because my little niece, she goes, oh, yeah, no, it's a moving star.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a good description.
Yeah, yeah. It's also her framework. You know?
Definitely wasn't a satellite. It was going too fast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've seen a few of those too.
But yeah, the other one around that time was, you know, the Christmas tree light looking ones. You know, the green and red lights would flicker and go up and down and that sort of thing.
I haven't seen those.
So it'd be like, it looked like a plane.
Yeah.
It could look like a plane's lights flashing, but it would jump around. Like it'd appear in your field of vision. It would appear there, then there, then there, up and down. Side to side, up and down, but multiple colours.
Wow.
That used to be pretty common.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of those ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's on the same area?
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a hot spot. Maybe if you spend time more looking into the sky, you'd probably see a lot more.
I think the Glasshouse Mountains is got to be a part of it.
Yeah. Well, I've walked up one of the mountains there, and I noticed a lot of crystal, like lots of crystals, right? And just in the ground. And that's what brings them, you know. And I was telling you about that experience I had when I was living in Hewenbrook that I had on the last podcast. And that area was known as really dense with crystals. In fact, the creek that ran in through the area is called Crystal Creek.
It's interesting you say that. My friend who's just been through here doing a bit of a tour.
Yeah.
She has a similar experience where she finds crystals.
Right.
In the ground, she can feel them. And this area... And that area you're talking about is some of the places she said she's found big pieces of obsidian.
Yeah, there's definitely, I mean, like where we are right now, there's some creeks that are pretty, they've got the feeling.
Yeah.
So I know I'm going to run around into it every one day and have a dig if this, you know.
So you have that ability to find them, do you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's just a feeling.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I know cool. where that's gonna what's gonna be down there.
Oh, yeah. Very cool.
Yeah,
I had the same ability as her.
Oh, okay. Well, for me, it's something that's just natural, you know. And I don't know, it's not something I developed. And when I was living in Hewenbrook a long time ago, I went for a walk up Crystal Creek and was just called to certain places, and I pulled out some stuff that looked like a dragon's bone. It was all these crystals clustered together. Jeez. Amazing. Big and whatever it was harder than glass because you could scratch glass with it. So, yeah, amazing. Somebody said it's probably carnelian or something. Yeah.
Where is it now?
I left it at my friend's place I was living at. It's like, it's meant to stay here, you know.
Wow.
On the windowsill there.
I went to Africa a long time ago, and part of that trip was a rafting trip along Victoria Falls.
Oh, wow, cool.
But because it was hectic, like class 6 rapids, some of the rapids you had to get out and walk across the...
Too dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Along the bank. So the thing was, we get out onto the bank and it's like, oh, the cliffs are 100 meters high. It's like, oh, somebody's been smashing bottles off this cliff. There's glass everywhere.
Wow.
And then the guide is like, oh, no, they're crystals.
Well, what type of crystals were they?
Malachite. Chalcedony, just God. The whole bank of this Waikato Rapids area.
Wow.
Crystals.
Amazing.
Very cool.
Yeah. Oh, I'd like to see that. Yeah.
Victoria Falls.
Yeah. Yeah.
No UFOs. But yeah, there's some cool stuff there.
Yeah. Yeah. And so how long have you had these contact sort of experiences going on for through your life?
Oh, look, I think it's definitely been some weird stuff from an early age.
Mm.
Just visual stuff that I'd have in my eyes, and with my eyes open, I'd see different things flying.
Moving around. Yeah.
I think they call them floaters, but mine were a bit different with that.
No, I know what you mean. I've seen them too. Yeah.
Yeah. So that sort of started when I was a teenager, and
yeah,
that's kind of developed into a more of a refined set of symbolisms and light shows and stuff.
Yeah, nice.
Mm. So, yeah, definitely hasn't been a normal life.
You've had some other experiences which are mind-boggling, to say the least, and one of those was an abduction experience. When was that and what happened? Give us a framework of where you were at the time and...
Living on the Sunshine Coast.
Yep.
And I was experimenting with pyramids. So
okay.
I had a copper pyramid in my backyard, and I had some string tied up over my bed in a pyramid shape, which apparently gave the same effect as sleeping under a copper pyramid. So I was mucking around with that, and I'd had a weekend in Brisbane with a few mates, gone to the footy, watched the Broncos play, had a few beers Sunday. And probably Tuesday night of the next week, I'm sleeping under the pyramid on the bed. And I go to sleep, and instantly I'm somewhere else. I've woken up in an experience of being in a facility, which looked like a medical facility.
Did this feel real?
Yeah.
Like real, like us sitting here type?
Yeah.
Now? Yeah. Yeah, okay.
As I walk in the door of this facility, there's a young girl sitting on a bench, and there's blood all over the floor, and she's screaming her head off. And I've sort of walked in, seen her screaming, and then seen there's another doorway next to that bench. So I've gone through that doorway, and there's a line of guys across a room that's probably 30 meters across. And these guys are all lined up to go through a doorway into another room. But in that lineup, there was three or four of my mates who had been with at the footy on the weekend. So I go up to my mates in the line and say, "What are you doing here?" And they said, "What are you doing here? We don't know what we're doing here." And I said, "I don't know. This is the first time they've let me remember."
Hmm.
And then a little alien grey looking guy with big eyes saw that I wasn't meant to be there and came out and confronted me, basically pushed me out of that lineup and started pushing me across the room and saying, "You're not meant to be here." And then
when he was saying that, how was he saying that?
Well, it was, yeah, telepathically.
Telepathically, okay.
But then they sent me to another realm. So then I was in like a giant void. Imagine like a giant warehouse, and it was just all black. And I was there for quite a while before I could wake up. It was like they banished me to this huge bloody giant warehouse.
Mm.
But it was just black.
But it felt like a warehouse, like a storage place for somebody.
Yeah, like they just, yeah, off you go.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, then I woke up quite shaken up.
Yeah. Did any of your mates remember anything?
No.
Yeah, that spirit knock then? that happens sometimes.
You got grey aliens in your
Yeah, wall. Probably in the walls. They don't usually knock during the day, which is really weird. That's a day knock. I've never heard that. So that's pretty cool and strange.
Yeah, the guys that were in that dream are totally not into any of this.
Oh, yeah. But that happened to them too.
I did mention it to one or two of them. Like, obviously, this is a long time ago. This is over 10 years ago.
Okay.
And I think I might have mentioned it to one or two of them, but just got back the fluoride stare.
Yeah, the fluoride stare. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know what they were doing on that facility, but I know it looked like that girl had an abortion and not with anaesthetic.
Are you sure it was an abortion? Because sometimes, you know, they're using the women for breeding and, you know, crossbreeding, and then they take their children as they're almost come to term.
Well, yeah, maybe it wasn't an abortion, but it was like there was a lot of blood on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was as clear as this.
Yeah.
It was very real.
Well, if you listen to my last podcast, a lady I was seeing went through that. She actually had, during her teenage years, several pregnancies and abortions that happened over and over.
Mm.
It caused stacks of traumatization for her. And as she got older, she was a bit estranged from her family and everything because of all this stress and PTSD around this. Then she found out the same thing happened to her mum as well when she admitted it to her one day, and her mum said, well, that's happened to me too. So,
yeah, well, the fact that I said to my friends in that experience, "I don't know what I'm doing here. This is the first time they've let me remember."
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
So that's happened before. That's what that implies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel? It was so clear.
How does it make you feel now when remembering it?
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing.
No. It's interesting, but yeah, it's not like it's it's not triggering me or anything like that, but it's also, it's a bit of a puzzle.
Yeah.
But probably not long after that, I discovered some ways to stop it happening.
Yeah. What techniques did you use to do that?
Different energy products, which I won't talk about.
Okay.
But yeah.
Friend of yours makes them?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
But that design, that, as soon as I got one of those.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll just say to listeners that you're wearing a ring that's some sort of material, looks copperish, and it looks like it has certain markings on it. In my books, that's a talisman. So, yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once I got that, the first one, yeah.
Yeah, that and that just nailed it all.
Yeah, but around that time, yeah, there was quite a few weird things happening. And I'll tell you this other little weird thing that happened.
Yeah.
In our waking time, like me and a friend, we went to the pub.
Yes.
And around this time, because we were talking about this stuff, obviously, certain people we'd talk about it with.
Yeah, some people are open to it.
Yeah, so this particular friend, he was open to it, but not really into it. But he was starting to have experiences of his own. And we went to this pub one day on the Sunshine Coast.
Mm.
And we both walked in and it was empty. It was just me and him and a couple other people.
Yeah, right.
And we both walked in and the bartender was kind of busy doing something. And we walked up to the bar on the left and he was over on the right facing another direction. There was nobody else there to serve. It was just us two. And when he looked up, his eyes were black. Fully, and they looked larger than what they were in his normal eyeballs.
Yeah, right.
But he's looked at both of us and his eyes were black. And he looked at us like he really didn't want to serve us. he had this real hatred towards us.
Strange.
The thing is, my friend that was with me is a 3D, normal, non-spiritual person, just a normal guy.
Yes.
He saw it too.
He mentioned it?
Yeah, because I said straight away, I said, "That guy, did you see that? His eyes are black." He goes, "Yeah, I saw it too." And then it went, like the guy realized that we'd seen it and he somehow changed it.
And he looked normal. Over
the service. Yeah.
Fuck.
That was freaky.
Which pub did you work at?
It's an area where lots of old people live.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh, I know where that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So all that right. was all, you know, this is over 10 years ago, but around that time, things were happening.
Lots of things.
Yeah. So yeah. There's a difference now. That visual phenomena, it just doesn't seem to be as much stuff happening.
I think these things also happen in waves too. So it could be just a quiet time and then it comes back again.
Yeah. Actually, somebody put it up online the other day that we've gone up into a higher frequency, which is making things seem more dense. If that makes sense.
Mm.
We've brought the density with us into a higher frequency and now we've got to clear that density to really experience the higher frequency.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do we clear it?
Yeah, well,
various
techniques, I guess.
Mm. Is that like a personal thing or is it a group thing or is it techniques and tools or any suggestions, anything you know about?
I feel like the simple things such as nature and...
Yeah, nature, connecting, reconnecting. Nature,
getting in the ocean.
Grounding is so good. Yeah.
Sound healing, you know, didgeridoo, crystal bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Sound activates and it's simple and it's pure.
Mm.
I would not recommend big group sessions. I'd be avoiding big groups because people have got entities flying off from left, right and centre.
Yeah, right.
And a lot of these people doing big group sessions aren't...
aren't aware of it.
They're not clearing the space properly and they're not clearing entities off people. And they're good at releasing entities from people,
yeah,
but not getting rid of them.
No, well, I mean, that's a common thing, you know. And you know, the hitchhikers, they're not willing to go usually. If they get off one, they'll jump to the next one that's open somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, no, I totally get it.
So yeah, I guess that's an also interesting thing to think about, though. If we've gone into a higher frequency in the last few months,
yes,
that density can't exist much longer.
Mm.
It has to either transform or it has to fall away.
Mm. I look forward to the next stage.
It's like a shark taking its prey into deeper water. Kind of.
Mm. Okay. Think about that one.
Yeah. You know, when a shark grabs a seal and it dives,
takes
to
it down. Yeah, yeah.
We're kind of doing that, but we're going up.
I can see it.
We're going up in frequency, but we're taking the density with us.
Mm, and it drops away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool.
That's all I've got to say about that.
Okay. Brian, thanks for coming on the show and sharing your experiences with us. And listeners, if you're a person that has had experiences, I'd be very interested in speaking to you one-on-one, and you can be anonymous like Brian and share what you've been through. I'm typically looking for uniquely Australian type experiences, although I'm open to anyone in the world. If anyone else is listening and they would like to reach out, the best thing to do is go to supernormalized@proton.me if you want to pop me an email, or you can go through supernormalized on any of the major social platforms, where I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook. So search for Supernormalized with a Z and you'll find me. Send me a message and yeah, we can share your story to the world. And thank you so much for listening. This is a pleasure for me to do and an honor to help people get their stories out there. And I look forward to having you back listening for the next show. Bye for now. Thank you.